Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and Connor Newt here with you. And we are excited for our next guest. Starting every Wednesday at 4, like right now, during the NFL season, we are going to be joined by the guest on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. That is senior NFL writer for Sports Illustrated and co-host of the MMQB NFL podcast, Connor Orr. Connor, thank you so much for joining us. We're really looking forward to having you on every week.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? I'm so excited. It's great to be here. And, man, we're like hours away. Let's go.
We are very excited. Before we get to questioning Connor, I do want to pay the bills here that the segment featuring Connor Orr on DVD is brought to you by Chiba Hut Toasted Subs, with locations in Nashville off Donaldson Pike and Clarksville in the River District. Two locations, one toasted tradition. Derek Mason's blood type is Chiba Hut, so
exactly.
he is very excited about that. So
he set a record for an NFL preseason for most Chiba Hut subs.
I did lose count. So Connor, about a month ago, you did an exercise for SI.com where you predicted the outcome of every NFL game this season. I believe that's 272 NFL games. And you predicted that the Tennessee Titans would have a 6-11 record at the end of the season. Fast forward to now. We've been through the preseason. We've been through training camp, the joint practices. I know you've kept tabs on the Titans. You've talked to people. You've watched the preseason games. I am going to give you an opportunity to amend your prediction, if you so choose. The Titans at 6-11, are you holding there, or are you changing it, and why?
I had an opportunity to take the over-under on the 6.5 actually yesterday, and I took the under because I feel good about that 6. Like, I think 6 with a good offensive season from Cam Ward and a little bit of progress in that department. I think they need another year to get some of Saleh's guys in there on defense and to just kind of get that mentality going. But I think a strong six-win season is good. And so I'm holding there. I feel good about it.
Okay. So earlier, Connor, we were talking about if there's ever been a more meaningful week one game between two stinky franchises than Jets-Titans. These have been two of the worst teams in the NFL over the past few seasons. I referenced a clip before the break from WFAN where Craig Carton is making the argument that the Jets season is on the line in week one against the Tennessee Titans. I'm curious for your opinion. How would you divvy up the pressure for both the Jets and the Titans on Sunday?
Well, here's what I, you know, because we did the quarterback carousel preview for 2027 on Sports Illustrated the other day. And here's what I think is interesting, because I started talking about C.J. Stroud as a candidate that was going to face a lot of pressure a year early, and everyone told me I was nuts and out of my mind. But I think we need to be thinking about Cam Ward under the same circumstances, where let's say Aaron Glenn's defense is a really good week one and just puts this team in a hole and Cam Ward doesn't look great. You're looking at a situation now with a brand new head coach, and now we're spiraling towards a potential top five pick. And all of a sudden, I think that season can get out of control from an optical perspective in a hurry. So while I think he's being, you know, a little magnanimous when he says everything's on the line in week one, you can't look bad if you're Cam Ward in the opener. And I think by extension, the rest of the Titans team can't look bad, right? Because I think that this team has a potential to – things could spiral, right? And I think Tennessee has more to lose than the Jets, who don't have a franchise quarterback and who, quite frankly, their franchise wants a top five pick at the end of the year.
You mentioned Cam Ward, Connor. Of course, most of our discussion this offseason, this preseason, has been about Cam Ward. We've also discussed Brian Daboll quite a bit and the relationship between Ward and Daboll. Personally, I have some skepticism about Cam Ward. I think that's understandable after the season he had last year. But I also have some skepticism about Daboll and whether he is the coach who can help Cam Ward develop. How do you see that marriage playing out this season?
It'll be interesting, right? I mean, because Dave's asked a lot of his quarterbacks, and you go back to Josh Allen, and Josh Allen, part of that cowboy mentality was developed under Daboll, where he kind of set him free and he let him run, I think, a little bit more than may have been recommended. And then remember, in Daniel Jones's best seasons with the Giants, he had increased his carry workload. What Brian Daboll likes to do is have that threat of a guy leaving the pocket in order to create mismatches with your wide receivers in the secondary. But that also means you're running more. That means that you're putting your body on the line. That means that you're getting hit more. And then you have to make throws at the end of the game when you're already uncomfortable. So how does that look midway through the year? How do you design plays around that to keep him comfortable? What's the divvying up of responsibility between what goes in the on the play sheet? How much say does Cam Ward have in that? These guys have got to figure that out in real time. Daboll is a guy who likes things the way that he likes them, and we'll see. I mean, I think this has got to be something that's built on mutual respect, and that takes time.
Connor, do you think Cam can be productive in this offense? Because you mentioned Josh Allen and that ability to run. You mentioned Daniels as well, his ability. Then you look at Jackson Dart. They all had that ability within a Daboll offense to run the football if they needed to. We've seen Cam. He doesn't have the capability, or at least he hasn't shown it the way those guys have shown. Can he operate? Can Daboll call plays that sort of takes away the running option for Cam Ward?
It's a great question, and it's so hard when you're a coach, when you're used to the math being in your favor, right? Because a running quarterback changes the math to a point where you pin the defense up against its heels, and then you can just call. You have a whole different suite of plays at your disposal. We saw what happened when he went from Russell Wilson to Jackson Dart last year. The entire offense opened, and the complexion of the entire thing changed. And so do you want to go back to a quarterback whose strengths are maybe more necessarily his arm talent, his anticipatory throwing, his deep ball throwing? Do you have the receivers to make that happen, or can you give a little on either side and see if you can get a little bit of give from Cam Ward? Because a little bit of buy-in there, I think, goes a long way. And I'm sure that's what Dable's probably in his ear trying to tell him.
We're talking with Connor Orr, senior NFL writer for Sports Illustrated and co-host of the MMQB NFL podcast. Now, you've mentioned about, you know, the pressure on Cam Ward, and obviously he has to go out there and perform. But if you look at the two coaches that we've been talking about, whether it's Saleh or Daboll, which one of those guys you believe have the most pressure to make sure this team? Is it Saleh or is it Daboll, a guy that's looking to be a head coach in this league again?
It's a great question. And I think that, you know, it goes multiple ways, but I think Saleh, you know, you look at the typical life cycle of an NFL head coach, and your first lever to pull when you're in trouble is to get rid of the coordinator on the side of the ball that's underperforming the most, right? And so I think I'm looking at, you know, the person who's probably on hot seat number one is absolutely the offensive coordinator, right? That's your first lever pull if you're Daboll. And remember, too, a lot of these Shanahan guys are in different systems now. They're more available. It's what Saleh is comfortable with personally. This is the first time that he's had a guy calling plays that's not directly from that system, right? And so, you know, I think that's probably the first lever that he pulls, right? Because the defense is more his baby. You know, that's something he set up on his side of the ball. And so I think I'm probably more worried about things if I'm Daboll. Saleh, you would guess that you're going to get a second year, especially with the new stadium opening, all that kind of stuff. I mean, you wouldn't want to be in the middle of a transition like that.
Connor Orr is with us from the MMQB podcast, Sports Illustrated. It's a great podcast. And Connor, one of the things I enjoy about what you and Albert Breer do is you can keep it light if you want, and you can get deep into inside stuff. And I heard you guys, when you were doing your predictions, you were sort of comparing rosters when you were doing your division by division, you were asking sort of the roster of the Jets beyond what you mentioned at the top. They're kind of waiting to get that next piece with the quarterback. So how would you evaluate the rest of the Jets roster? So when the Titans fans are looking, okay, where are the Jets weak? Where are they strong? How is the rest of the Jets roster outside of the quarterback position?
The Jets are one of those teams that's super hard to evaluate and are probably going to be much better at the beginning of the season than they are at the end of the season, right? The average age on defense is what it is. And a lot of these guys are veterans on 1 to 2 year contracts. And how much are you getting at them at the beginning of the season versus how much you're getting at them at the end of the season, I think it's going to be a lot different, and health is going to be a lot different. So if I'm a team, I want to play the Jets probably in November, December, and January. And so I think this team is going to be better now. But it's all about Aaron Glenn. I mean, this was such a physical, unique kind of defense that he made his bones on in Detroit. And to be able to get other guys like that to play, I mean, it's more than just a scheme, right? There's a cultural shift there. There needs to be a buy-in. There needs to be W's. There needs to be a lot of stuff to kind of motivate guys to play in that way. And so I'm interested to see how he evolves as a coach personally, because if he doesn't improve the interpersonal, then I think the rest of that goes by the wayside.
Well, let's flip it to the Titans defense, because that is how Robert Saleh got the job, right? How he has had great defenses through the years. But for all those reasons you just mentioned, Connor, I'm curious how quick he can put together that culture and that understanding of the scheme, because they flipped so many of the players sort of out of desperation, but they're also doing a completely different scheme defensively than they did 1 year ago. So how quick can he put that together? What's reasonable?
Well, I would say this for Robert Saleh. You know, I live 10 minutes from the Jets facility. I used to cover that team as a beat reporter. I actually interviewed Derek Mason at one point when he was with the Flight Boys 2.0, which was a great memory.
Oh, man,
mine,
yeah.
He's tried to purge that from his memory.
I've tried.
the work that he did and how bad that place was before he got there, I don't think that anybody's ever going to give him the proper credit for the deep clean that he did culturally, spiritually from that place. And while it may not have shown in wins and losses, I mean, this was still a team that was winning 7 games with Zach Wilson and Chris Streveler at quarterback, which to me was an incredible accomplishment, you know, given everything that was going on. So I think he's shown that ability. He's demonstrated it. He had great defenses, or at least effective defenses, when everyone was hurt in San Francisco last year. He had great teams, or at least effective teams, with Zach Wilson as quarterback. I think they beat the Bengals that year, and the Bengals went on to make the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I think he's got the track record. I think just coming from the Jets leaves such a scar on some of these coaches that, you know, it's hard to give him the benefit of the doubt a second time around, and I get it.
Connor, the you, for obvious reasons, the people here in Nashville pay close attention to what Mike Vrabel is doing, and they're front and center stage tonight, of course. What do you think they have for an encore here as they come off a surprisingly amazing season last year?
I think what's interesting to me about this matchup in particular, like, I remember being in the locker room after that game last year and all the Seahawks defensive linemen saying, we knew everything that offensive line was doing. They never changed their signals. They never changed anything that they did up front. So we could, you know, design stunts and blitzes and games around that, and we could be at the quarterback on almost every snap. You don't have that advantage now if you're Seattle. And New England's improved the offensive line by bringing in Elijah Vera Tucker. And I think the one thing that we're not counting on is the fact that, and this has been the message out of New England all summer from all the coaches there, right, is what if Drake May is the second or third best player in the NFL? He might be. Right? What if he elevates to the point where he's a total Josh Allen type player and you have to throw out everything you think before the game because if he's on a heater, you can't beat him? I'm interested to see if Drake evolves into that kind of player, and I think this game's going to be a lot closer than it was in the Super Bowl last year.
Connor, I was with a group, I'll say a well-rounded group, not a bunch of sports nerds, but we like to get together and we have a diverse trivia night team. And the final question last night, I think, illustrates an unusual part of this coming season. The question was, by all of the betting odds, the consensus number one team who is the favorite to win the Super Bowl. And everybody looked at me at the table, like, Willie, you're the sports guy, you should know this. And I panicked for a second. I was like, well, that's a subjective question. But then I thought for a second, and I was like, it's so clear cut this year, as opposed to most years, that the Rams have the overwhelming odds. Are they that good? I know you and Albert have discussed this back and forth. They've got this team on paper that looks almost unbeatable, but it's never that easy in the NFL, is it?
It never is. And right, what was the stat? You know, I think in 30 years, how many times has a team that has reached that high of a consensus odds even made the Super Bowl? And I think it's zero, right? And so, you know, that just goes to show, are we following the shiny object? Do we just continue to do that every year? I mean, Myles Garrett, I've said this all along, what he gives the Rams is information. When he's on the field, he tells the Rams which direction the protections are going to slide, which way the team's going to run the ball, obviously away from him. And then you add Aaron Donald to that mix. And I do think that that's a pretty unblockable front seven, right? You upgraded at the cornerback position, but like anything else, I mean, it all comes down to health. And I think that we can look at this team and say that on paper it's as good as anything we've ever seen. But Matt Stafford, how close was he last year to like missing time with a back injury? He needed to be in that Airstream trailer during training camp just to heal himself and went on to win an MVP. He's another year older. And so I think with all this stuff, yes, it's one of the best teams I've ever seen on paper going into a season, but how much does that matter if everybody starts getting banged up? If there's a suspension for Puka Nacua, how does that change the complexion of the offense? There's still a lot of questions with this team.
Connor, before we let you go, I'll be blunt. You love the Houston Texans. You absolutely love the Texans. You wrote a great cover story for Sports Illustrated on the Texans' defensive stars. You have predicted that the Texans will defeat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. You have Will Anderson as your MVP. So let's talk Texans for a moment. Two questions. Why are you so high on the Texans just generally? And two, what could happen for all of that to unravel for the Texans this season?
So, interesting stat. I think it was over the first 7 or 8 weeks of the season, the Texans defense was outpacing the 1986 Chicago Bears, and they only missed the modern era scoring record because they had a bunch of backups in the 18th week of the season, and they gave up whatever it was, 30 points, and it skewed the average, right? Because they needed to save everybody for the playoffs. If you look at that and you look at the fact that last year was, everyone agrees, one of the worst years CJ Stroud has ever had. He was still 12th in the league in efficiency with a terrible offensive line and no running game. They fixed both of those things in the offseason. Nick Caley got a second year under his belt as a play caller. I think they're pointed in the right direction. Everybody that I've talked to down there is really optimistic about that relationship. And this defense, they added Reed Blankenship. And so I think there's so many layers to how good this defense is and why they're so good. And it just feels like, you know, when you've been around so many Super Bowl teams now, this is my 16th year covering the league, you can just kind of feel it. And these guys love each other. They respect each other in a way that you just don't see normally in an NFL locker room. There's the vibes part of it, but schematically, I think they're really far ahead of the NFL on defense. I mean, I think Matt Burke is a really great defensive coordinator, and I think they're just going to be really hard to beat, man. This team is tough.
Connor Orr, senior NFL writer for Sports Illustrated and the co-host of the MMQB NFL podcast, has been our guest on D-Mace. Vingan and Donicky will join us every Friday, or it's not Friday, Wednesday. I've lost track of time. Every Wednesday at 4 o'clock during the NFL season. Connor, awesome stuff. A pleasure to have you on the show. We're looking forward to our conversations all year long. We'll talk again next week.
All right, really looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Yep. 615-737-1025. I have no idea why I said Friday.
Got my hopes up for a second. Hey, it's Friday.
It's Wednesday.
It's Friday.
It's not Friday. It's Wednesday. It's not Friday.
It's not Friday. Football coverage, man.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Connor's like, I'm not prepared.
Sorry if you were driving around Friday.
What? Where am I going?
Somebody swerved.
Get your questions ready for D-Mace.
Yes, my bad. My bad, everybody. Stand down. It's Wednesday. It's not Friday. And, of course, our segment with Connor Orr every Wednesday at 4 is presented by Chiba Hut Toasted Subs. Two Middle Tennessee locations now open in Nashville off Donaldson Pike in Clarksville River District.
And a quick shout out. I think a lot of you may have heard Connor for the first time, right? And you may like, oh, I've never heard of that guy. He sounds pretty good. Well, the MMQB podcast is one that I personally would say that's one of my go-tos. It's really, really sound stuff. Just to give a perspective of the league, and they do it in a fun way, and that's what we're hoping to bring with Connor. I think you're going to get used to him. You're going to like what he does. He can ham it up a little bit. And like you just heard, he's got great insight. He has been in locker rooms, and he covers the stuff thoroughly.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Connor Orr had to say. You can as well. 615-737-1025. Plus, we'll look ahead to tonight's Super Bowl rematch between the New England Patriots and Seattle Seahawks. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.